Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcast, Circlecraft Studies and Nature Folk. In tonight's encore presentation, Selena discussed ways of creating and working with personal altars as part of your spiritual practice, and this is coming to us from 2014.
Welcome to Circlecraft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we explore personal altars. We examine what personal altars are, how to work with them, some places to locate them, and some different styles and considerations in setting them up and maintaining them. Let's begin with a short invocation. This is something that can be done as part of daily practice at a personal altar. If you happen to be by your own personal altar, I invite you to work with this invocation to aid you in the show tonight and to try it out in times to come. I honor the divine. I honor this place, this personal altar space, as a threshold to connect with the divine, to connect with the sacred that's within, that's around, that is now, that is to come, that has been before. May this altar be blessed with the powers of earth, the powers of air, the powers of fire, the powers of water, the powers of spirit. May there be balance and harmony here within me, within my relationship with the divine as one and as many, with my relationships with family, friends, and the greater circle of nature of which I am part. So mote it be. A personal altar is a gateway to connecting with the divine as part of spiritual practice. A personal altar is a kind of spiritual workplace. It is a sacred workbench. Regardless of where it's located, what shape and size it may take, what kinds of work is done there, having a personal altar and having that be part of your home and part of your spiritual life anchors spiritual practice. It is worked with daily. The altar place itself grows in importance and in effectiveness in connecting you with the sacred that's within you, the sacred that is beyond you. A personal altar becomes a gateway to the sacred. It becomes a place that you associate in your waking consciousness, your dreaming consciousness, your magical consciousness with sacred work. It is one of the most important tools that one can have to aid spiritual life. Personal altars can be located in a variety of places. They can take a variety of different forms. For most people who have a personal altar in their life, the altar is set up in a particular location and left set up and is continued to be visited and worked with during the course of a day, a week, a month. And yet there are variations. Some people set up their altar each time in their home space because of limited space around them. And in a later workshop in this series, we'll talk about portable personal altars. But tonight we're going to focus on a personal altar that you create and you work with in your home area. And we're going to take a look at some of the ways that you can work with a personal altar. In an artistic way, it is a kind of display of ritual items, in particular configurations. It can be, altar keeping can be a form of artistic spiritual expression. And in inviting people from many paths and places to share information about personal altars on my main Facebook page over the last few days, I have not only seen some of that variety of how altars are used, but some of the forms that they take. So it can be a place where spiritual items are placed in particular formations to aid spiritual work, but even in looking at the altar itself, it can be a piece of spiritual art. The altar is a place to connect with the divine. What form or forms the divine takes depends on the practitioner. In the circle craft tradition, most often it's connecting with the divine through the elemental forces, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, and some form of deity, maybe goddess, god, god and goddess, maybe a pantheon, maybe ancestors, nature spirits, spiritual guides, all of the above. It may be a universal source with some of these facets being aspects of that source. So it's a place to access the divine and in contacting the divine, making offerings to express appreciation, doing prayer work, inviting guidance, doing thanksgiving. So it is a place for divine contact and communication and collaboration. A personal altar can be a meditation place. And by meditating at the personal altar or nearby after the altar has been activated, it can be a meditation focus. It can be a meditation aid. It can be a place of creative inspiration. It can be a place for connecting with the cycles of nature by bringing forth natural items gotten at different times of the year and placed on the altar. It can be a direct link to the season, to a sacred time. An altar can be a place for focusing attention and intention, a place of magic, a place for healing, a place to send forth well wishes, positive intentions, wishes for oneself, for loved ones, for the planet as a whole, for the greater circle of life. An altar also can be a place for divination, for working with a divination tool to find out more about the present, the past, the future. A personal altar can be the workplace for a particular spiritual working. Particular items connected with that working can be used during the working itself and can be put in a particular configuration and left set up and continued to be activated throughout the operation that might happen over time. And that altar can also be a place of celebration, especially when one has done some form of magic prayer request that has brought about the wished for results. In setting up a personal altar, several things need to be taken into account. Where can you set the altar up, leave it up, and have it appear in a good way, minimize disturbance by others, and be accessible, and be something that adds to the beauty of the space where you live. If you have creatures in your household, you may need to locate it in a place which is creature-free, or design it in such a way that if creatures get near it or jump upon it, fly over it, slither around it, whatever kind of creature you have, that it will enhance its effectiveness as a spiritual place rather than interfere with that. If you have young ones, young humans that are in your space, you may need to do some education around it so that it remains how you wish it to be remain. You may need to locate it as at a place that's out of reach if the young ones aren't old enough to quite understand boundaries and respect sacred space. So picking a location that's really going to work and allow the altar to have stability, to have beauty and presence is really an important piece. What kind of location options are there? Where do people put their personal altars? I have mine in the hallway right outside of where the wing where my bedroom is and my closet is. So it's very convenient when I get up in the morning And I pass through the door into the main hallway. There is the altar. It's actually in view as I enter my house, as well as in view from other parts of the main floor of the house. So for me, that works because it's convenient and I am able to access different places where I have altar supplies stored, easily can get more candles if I need to, more batches if I need to. I have some storage areas around it. Some people locate their personal altar in their bedroom. Some like to put their altar in a study or an office, a home office room, or a creative room, a workshop. Some in the main room of the house, in the living room. Some like putting their personal altar in the kitchen. Or in some cases, if a person has a large enough dwelling, there may be a whole room devoted to spiritual activity, and the personal altar is located in that room. And if there are multiple people in the household, each person's personal altar may be in that sacred room so that it enhances that space. What direction do you face the altar? Part of that decision depends on the pragmatics of how your home is laid out. Part of it has to do with the symbolic association you associate with that particular direction. Some people like to orient their altars to the north or to the east, some to the south, some to the west, and some may have it in the center of a room rather than along a particular side. Some may have it at a cross-directional piece, northwest, for example. In addition to looking at locations in an interior of a house, some people will have their personal altar outside. This is most often the case when a person is in what some call a Mediterranean climate, in which it is fairly mild throughout the course of the year, and one can easily access the outdoors and not have to bundle up. Here in Wisconsin, where I make my home in a forest, it's not real practical to have the main personal altar outside because it may do what it did today, which was snow abundantly. And that can be difficult to keep one's focus and work with it. But some people really prefer outdoor altars and like the idea of having them be all weather and being outside and being able to connect throughout whatever the climate might be. Once you have identified a location, it's important to find a suitable place within that location, a suitable structure that will serve as the altar space. Many people have a table for their personal altar. It might be a card table, a small side table that might normally be used as next to an easy chair or whatever in a living room. Some people like a small folding table. Some people, instead of using some kind of a table, will use some kind of a bench, such as a piano bench, or a bench that's just used as regular piece of furniture. Some like a really low standing altar and like to sit on the floor in front of the altar and may use a small box or even a suitcase with sturdy sides and use that as the basic framework structure for an altar. Some may have an actual altar box that contains the various altar items, and a wooden box that may be a foot high, a couple feet long, and a foot wide, and a latched lid that has the items inside, and the items come out and go across the top, and the altar is left stored that way, but then it can also be easily transported to a festival. Some people like that style of altar. Some people prefer to use the top of a chest of drawers or a cabinet. Some people may use a mantle above a fireplace, part of a shelf, or even a pretty wide window ledge could serve as an altar space. So finding the basic framework that you're going to use for your altar is really important. And as you consider that, it's important to think about the size and shape and height and stability factor. My main altar is one that I typically stand in front of, but if I need to, I can bring a chair and access it that way as well. I have some altar furniture that I use for special occasion personal altars. Sometimes when I'm doing divination work, I will have, instead of my main personal altar, I'll actually create an altar from a folding table that I have, especially if I'm going to be doing some type of oracle cards, be they tarot cards or some other form of cards, and I'm going to be putting out a very elaborate spread. I may move to a much bigger space in order to do that. Can one use the floor as an altar? Certainly one can. If you choose to do that, though, I would highly recommend that you have some kind of altar cloth, altar rug, or something that separates the floor area from the area that you're going to be serving as your altar space. And the problem with floor altars, leaving them up full time, one, they are much more liable to get disturbed by people that might happen upon them and not recognize that they really are an altar. So most altars are actually put on something of some type. How high to make the altar? What shape? Should it be square, triangular, rectangular, circular, star shape? This is a matter of personal preference and practicality. What fits the space where you're going to be working with your altar? That's an important piece to look at. And another idea to keep in mind for the altar is, what kinds of things will you be doing with your altar? And if it's going to be a multi-purpose personal altar, which my main one is, then it's important for it to be big enough to have basic items on it that I can use and can move around and work with for different types of spiritual exercises, meditations, rituals, and other types of operations. When you set up an altar for the first time, it is a good idea to purify the room. This is an interior altar, the whole room, and in particular, the exact space where you're going to be putting the altar up. Now, you can purify that with incense, purifying incense such as sandalwood, frankincense, copal, sage, rosemary. All of those are really good incenses that can help clear away not only negativity that might be around, but unneeded influences. Some like to purify the space with each of the elements of nature, to use a bit of salt for the earth, incense for air, a candle flame or wand for fire, sprinkling water for water, using a crystal or other symbol of spirit for spirit, and to do a blessing on the space. In addition to blessing the space, making sure what table or other structure you're using for the altar itself has been physically cleansed as well as spiritually cleansed. And once you have set that up, to do some form of dedication of that altar, such as with the invocation that we began our evening tonight with, to have some form a way to dedicate the space as your personal altar space. Once you've established the altar, then you've dedicated it, the next step is to start working with it. And over the course of time, to refresh it, reorganize it, renew it, take a look at it, and find what items you want to keep on it, what items you want to change. Some people like to renew their altar every month at new moon time. Some like to refresh their altar for each of the changes in the seasons, the solstices, the equinoxes, and the midpoints between. Some do altar renewal once a year. It may be the occasion of one's birthday. It may be the end of the calendar year or the end of the spiritual year as a way of renewing the altar. And then whenever it comes time to relocate, then it's important that you do so with respect. If you need to deactivate your altar because you are going to be moving, that in like fashion, you give thanks to the altar. Instead of dedicating it, you are then bringing closure to it. You dismantle the altar. You do another cleansing of the altar structure and of the space, and you do a release. And then, if you are relocating to another place in the dwelling, or you're moving your whole household, then you reestablish your altar in its new location. In this next part, I'd like to share some items that you may want to have on your altar and on an ongoing basis. What are items that you have on your altar? And part of this is pragmatic, is you want to have items on your altar that are going to be part of the types of rituals and meditations and other spiritual workings that you do. Part of it is aesthetics, is to have items on that are visually appealing. Part of it has to do with items that you have a connection with as part of spiritual work that you consider important. At a very basic level, in addition to having the altar structure, most people have some kind of altar cloth, or the surface of the altar is some type of beautiful wood, stone, or metal that serves as its own natural beautiful space to have ceremonial objects on. I like to keep a crystal, a clear quartz crystal, on different types of altars that I work with as a representation of the sacred. Some like to have a representation of one or more forms of deity that one is aligned with. So if you are part of a path that honors the Great Mother and the Great Father, you may have an image that shows the two of them together, or individual images, depictions of the goddess and god, or you may have a candle representing those deities. If you work with a pantheon of divinities, you may have a photograph or a piece of art that has the divinities all depicted in one piece of art, and you may have that on your altar. Or you may use something such as a crystal to represent the divine, not only as one, but with many facets, that there are multiple forms of the divine that you work with. Something else that I think can be a really wonderful addition to a personal altar is what I call the altar plate. I have a small circular metal plate with some oak engravings around the side, and that becomes a focal point for specific kinds of workings that I'm doing. I have a candle that sits in a holder with little legs on it that I set up above the plate, and I can write particular focal points for a particular working I'm doing. It might be sending healing for someone. So I would write their name on a piece of paper, and I'd set it on the plate and then put the candle with the little legs right on top of it, then kindle that candle. And that is a very simple and effective way of being able to direct my attention and my intention towards doing healing work for that particular person. Or if it's a request for some guidance for myself, I would write that and set it in that location. Something else that is really a wonderful thing to have on or near your altar is some type of spiritual journal, diary, grimoire, book of shadows, book of light and shadows, spiritual workbook. It may go by a variety of different names. I like spiral notebooks, which allow me to have a pen kind of connected with it. And yes, I also keep rituals and other things electronically via my computer. But when I'm actually doing meditations and work, I find it really helpful to have a book where I can note things down without necessarily having to do things electronically. Now, some people prefer to use a tablet and or some other digital device that's easily portable and have that on their altar as well. Candles are on many people's altars, and candle burning can be a wonderful way of directing spiritual focus as part of personal altar work. Candles may have different functions. They may represent divinity, as I mentioned before. They may represent your own deep self. They may represent a particular focal point for what you are seeking to accomplish for yourself or for someone else. Colors of candles, scents of candles, shape and sizes of candles. There are many different systems of working with candles as part of personal altar work. And find the system that really seems to work best for you. Some people prefer to use tea lights because they are They burn for several hours. They contain the wax, and they're easy to put in and out of a candle holder without doing a lot of wax cleanup and things. One of the things that I like to have on my personal altar, in addition to things I've already talked about, are elemental tools, a holder for incense, or sometimes I will use a feather as well, some container for water, container for an earth symbol, and such as salt, a fire candle representing the element fire, a wand which can represent fire, or it could be used. I have a wand that I use for casting circles, place that on the altar. And in addition to these items, I generally have some type of sound-making implement that I use as part of ceremonies, ringing a bell, a sistrum, which is like a tambourine on the stick. I have one that I use and carry around with me to many places, a singing bowl, a bowl set on a cushion that's played by moving the stick around the edges of the bowl. There's a number of different forms of sound making implements, a rattle, a drum, different kinds of bells. I'll leave that up to you. But one of the great things about having a bell or some other instrument that you work with for sacred sounds, that is a quick way of clearing the space of an altar energetically, of starting and ending an operation. It can be a really wonderful addition to your work. So some additional things that you may want to have on your personal altar may be, if you are part of a particular group or tradition and there is a symbol connected with that, perhaps you have it in the form of a ring or an amulet, you may want to have that on your altar. Some people like to take a piece, a rock from the place where they live, and have that linked directly to the sacred place that is their home dwelling. Some like to put a stone or some other image from a sacred place which has been important to them personally. There's really no limit to the kinds of items you can have on a personal altar. There are some practicalities, though, when you decide what to put on your altar. And if you decide to have divination tools on your altar, obviously your altar needs to be big enough to hold all the things as well as to allow you to work with your divination tool on the altar itself. So size of the altar is important. My main personal altar actually is a type of table with shelves, and there's a bottom shelf where I put a number of items, a middle shelf, and then the top shelf, which is the main altar surface. And so my altar not only is a place where I do my work, but I also have some supplies right handy. Some people will use a chest of drawers and then have items within each of the drawers that are things that might be used. So you have your altar supplies real handy. If you are in a limited space, you can still have representations of sacred forces you work with. You just have them be smaller. And some actually will take sacred items and create a photograph or a piece of art and have them represented that way rather than with actual personal items. In the last few moments, what I'd like to do is share some ways of working with your altar once you've had it set up. A really simple altar working is to have a candle that you kindle as a way of doing a meditation and honoring the divine. You go to the altar, you kindle the candle, you call on the sacred in the form or forms that you work with it, you invite blessing and connection, you do an honoring, and then be still, reflect, commune, connect. And then when you are complete, you give thanks and extinguish the candle. Now, some people like to have a candle snuffer available for when they're doing candle work, a candle lighter and a candle snuffer. Some will use fingers to extinguish the candle or will blow the candle out. Different traditions have different things to say about those techniques. I've worked with them all. I'm more universalist in that approach. Another working that one can do with the altar, and this would involve working with each of the symbols, five elements of nature, which are not only part of the circle craft tradition, but other traditions, taking a bit of the salt. I honor the sacred earth, and then rubbing that salt in one's hands. Blessings of well-being upon my body. Taking lit incense, I honor the sacred air, moving the incense around oneself. Sacred air, bless my mind, my thoughts, my communications with wellness. Taking a symbol of fire, it could be a fire candle or a wand. Sacred fire, I honor you. Bless me and my doings. Bless my actions and my decision making. Bless my accomplishments with wellness. A dish, a bowl, a cup of water, anointing yourself, sacred water, I honor you. Bless my feelings. Bless my moods with wellness. Bless my relationships with others with wellness. And then a symbol representing spirit, powers of the sacred spirit. I honor you. May I be in balance with body, mind, actions, feelings. May my soul be blessed. May my work be blessed. May my life be blessed. And may I be a blessing to others. So be it. So with this, you are working with each of the elements, you're honoring the elements, and you're using the elemental tools to do a kind of self-blessing. And this can be done at the start of the day. And now what we do is we're going to shift in this last part of our evening and have the forum type, have a time where we can talk with each other and talk about personal altars. And then I invite you all to share your personal altar experiences. You can call in if you're listening live, 347-308-8222. And I invite into the conversation David and Jeanette Ewing, Circle Sanctuary ministers who help me with this show each week. Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Yes, and I'm wondering and if we have some questions or comments in live chat that we may want to include as part of the mix.
Oh, we've had a bit of a discussion going on. One of the earlier questions that somebody had, though, was was how do you manage your altar? And I think you might have talked about this a bit, but how do you manage your altar if all you have is like a small space, like the top of a dresser, and you don't want to get it too cluttered, you know, and just to kind of, if you have to deal with a small space, is all you really have available, and just maintaining, you know, clutter and that kind of stuff around it with what you'd have on it?
Yes, that's a really good question. And if it's on top of a dresser, for example, and it's possible to use the top drawer, one of the drawers, to have items so that as items are needed, they can be pulled out and put on that space, that would be one way of working with that. Another is to have some smaller items that really fit the space. I have some large altar tools that when I do community altar work, and we'll talk about that later in the series, where there's dozens or even in some cases hundreds of people at a ritual, I use a much bigger chalice than on my own personal altar. You know, I have a very small little cauldron of water just because I have much more limited space. And even with, you know, attending to my altar every day and whatever, it does tend to accumulate things. So I do altar refreshment at least once a month to try to move things and put them in a storage area. I think sometimes one can get real busy and the altar becomes a ritual tool collection pit. And then so much stuff is on it that it's difficult to even use it. I've had that happen myself. So part of it is developing a real understanding of, well, how am I going to be using this space? And something that one may do, because I got this question as I was preparing for this show from some knowing that I was going to do it. Well, what about leaving your altar up, but you really want to have some privacy around it? So one thing that can be done, most people are familiar with the altar cloth that goes on top of the structure and then items go on top of that. But one can actually have an altar covering cloth and can use that atop the various items, especially if the altar is in a place where there's, you know, dust or some lightweight things might get blown away. You can actually cover the altar when not activated and in use, and then just gently move a lightweight cloth off. So that's another way of it possibly working. And my internet, probably because of the snowstorm earlier today, there's probably too much snow on the dish where I get my internet. I haven't been able to really follow live chat tonight because it's such a, I have slow, very slow internet connection. So are there some other questions or comments?
Well, one of the things we were talking about too online is how many of us have multiple altars set up in our home, and as we start looking around, some folks have kind of looked around and realized that they do have a lot of mini altars set up throughout their home that they didn't realize they had, you know, because you have things set up in certain places and stuff, and then you look at them and you think about it, it's like, hey, wait, that's an altar, you know, an altar space. It's a space dedicated to a certain theme or particular aspect or something,
right,
of your of who you are, and you know, so that kind of gets, it's like, well, we do have a lot of mini altars. And then somebody else commented on how, you know, they use wall hangings and stuff to kind of create that altar space. And, you know, so that you may not have something, you know, things laid out flat on a horizontal surface. You may have things on your wall that sort of designated as your altar, as your altar space. And how that kind of gets interesting with some of us and how our homes are decorated and stuff, we realize that we're kind of living in our altar space to some extent too, that our home is like a larger altar and these are just smaller spaces that we have for specific things and things. Just so that idea and concept we kind of chatted about a little bit.
Yeah, and really one whole home, one's dwelling, can be one big temple in a way. And I certainly have a number of different altars throughout the main floor of my house. I have my personal altar that I'm the one, you know, in looking at personal altars, I define personal altar as an altar that a particular person uses for spiritual work. But there are also household altars in my home where it isn't just me, but my husband and I work at some of the altars together, or I'll have people over for some of the altars that I have that are actually shrine altars. And next week I'll be talking about shrine altars and how they differ from a personal altar. Now, most personal altars have kind of a combination. You're connecting with different forms of divine that you're aligned with there. But a shrine altar that I'll be talking about more next week and how to set them up and how to work with them, a shrine altar is an altar that's connected with a shrine to a particular form of the divine. So right in the main floor of my house, I have a Bridget shrine altar, and I also have a Bast shrine altar to the cat goddess Bast. And on second floor of my house is my Lady Liberty altar, where I do special pagan rites work. And in another part of my house, I have my Ocean Mother altar, which is actually more the whole room. It's actually the bathroom area, which is all connected with water and cleansing and ocean. And I've got seashells I've gotten from different, you know, oceans from around the world as I've traveled. So I do see value in having multiple altars. I think when it comes to daily spiritual practice, it's best to have a main altar that is the central place where you do workings. And then the other altars are there for other purposes and special occasions. One of the household altars that is on my main floor is what I call the Sabbat altar. And I have a bowl that has each of the names of the eight Sabbats around it. And I fill that bowl with symbols connected with the season. And often have a candle in the middle of the bowl. And so for Beltane, I have flowers in it. Right now, we've just had Yuletide, and we're moving into Imbolc. So I have the acorns, a symbol associated with the waxing of the solar year and also connected with the goddess Bridget. And there's different types of altars one can have in one's home. And I think having a variety can really just enhance the beauty of one's space, and having reminders of spirituality and the cycles of seasons can just be really a fabulous thing. I am so thankful for everyone that tuned in tonight, and I invite you to share any additional comments or questions with me on my main Facebook page, that Selena Fox Update. And I have several photos of me at altars that are posted on the page, and you can pick one of those threads and share a post not only with me, but other people that have posted some pictures of their own altars there. I really appreciate everyone for listening and tuning in. I welcome feedback about this series. This is my second in the Altarcraft series, and we'll be moving into exploring working with altars connected with a particular form of the divine next week. How to maintain a shrine, how to set up a shrine, how do shrine altars differ from personal altars, and how they can not only be in the home, but shrine altars that are as part of community spaces We'll talk about some old shrine altars as well as some new ones, and collectively creating shrine altars with others. I want to thank you both, David and Jeanette, and thank everyone for tuning in. And I invite those of you who are interested in finding out more about Circle Sanctuary to find us on Facebook, find us on the web, www.circlesanctuary.org.
Thank you.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.